Hi everyone, and welcome to the On The Bit podcast, episode 3. Thanks so much for tuning in again this week. We have another fabulous guest for you. We are speaking to Lydia, the founder of equestrian clothing brand LD Equestrian. LD really merges that current trend for athleisure wear with the need for technical riding wear that takes you all the way from the gym to the yard to brunch with the girls and keeps you looking great and comfortable the whole way through. I was really interested to talk to Lydia and hear how she started her business, what the inspiration behind it was, and how she felt a life of working and dealing with horses had prepared her for starting her own business. So I hope you enjoy the podcast, and without further ado, we will get stuck in. Okay, Lydia, welcome to the On The Bit podcast. Thank you so much for agreeing to be a part of it.
Thank you for inviting me to be here. I'm excited to be on the show.
Great. I am a marketer by day, so I love a good brand entrepreneurship story that really gets me very excited. So I'm looking forward to hearing all about your brand, LD Equestrian. Can you give us a little sort of elevator pitch of who you are and a little bit about your brand just for our listeners who don't know you?
Sure. So I'm Lydia and I'm the director of LD Equestrian, and we are a upcoming equestrian clothing brand, and we aim to provide stylish, comfortable and affordable riding clothing.
Perfect. Perfect. That's very polished. Very polished elevator pitch. And how did this whole brand and business come to be? What inspired you to create LD Equestrian?
It basically came from a consumer experience. I've always been into horses as long as I can remember. And when I first started riding, I went through the pink jodhpurs and lilac waistcoat and sparkly wellies phase that I'm sure a lot of people have to go through because their mums make them wear it, or maybe just my crazy mum.
Definitely been there.
So yeah, went through that phase, and then when I came to like get into my teens, I was like, yeah, I'm not wearing these pink jodhpurs anymore, mum, it's not for me. And then I started to look into the clothes I wanted to wear, and I couldn't find anything that I really liked or that I thought gave me what I needed. And even if I did, it just wasn't in my budget. So I kind of shied away from clothing for quite a while after that. And
I tended to ride.
Yeah, just basically my riding clothing and normal wardrobe merged into one at one point. Yeah. Where I was just like, my jeans, hoodies, everything. It kind of merged. As I'm sure it does, we all go through that point too. And yeah, so then it eventually came to one point where I was like, my horse was amazingly kitted out, and I looked down and I'm wearing like my old hoodie and like sweats in the middle of winter, and I was also getting sick of the irritation of like riding in my jeans, and I was like, okay, maybe I need to go back and actually kit myself out again. So I started looking in my local tack shops, online. I went everywhere. And then I started to develop a kind of frustration, really, because since I'd had a break from wearing riding clothing, looking at it regularly, I was like, it's not really moved on. Not, I felt anyway. And if I did like something, it wasn't in my budget still. And I thought, this surely can't be just my frustration. This must be like a lot of people's frustration, because I class myself as sort of the just typical equestrian, really. So it kind of became an obsession, and I set out to try and find what frustrations everyone else was facing with the industry. And then it sort of turned into, well, I think they, why hasn't this been done? Why isn't this been done? Why is, you know, why are we so backwards with this? And then I thought, well, why can't I do it? And then it sort of just went from there, and I knew exactly what I wanted to create in a brand and what I wanted to frustrations I wanted to solve. And then it's just sort of been a plan of how do I get to that point, really. And I've made it my mission.
Well, I mean, your clothes are just gorgeous. I have to say, they're really lovely, but I think you're definitely right. I remember, you know, I've been through that phase. I've worn kind of whenever your good clothes become relegated to horse clothes, and you have, you know, maybe a pair of jeans that you really liked, and then they get a bit tatty and they get old and they become, you know, yard clothes, and then you ride in them for a while. Yeah. And, you know, I've been there too. And I actually realized recently I had a coat and my horse bit the badge off the arm. I thought, this is a really, you know, this is quite a good coat. This is a new coat. And when I look back, it was actually about 5 years old, and I was considering that a good coat, and I was quite upset about it. And I thought, you know, it's time, you know, you need to, you know, get over this and look less homeless. And definitely, you know, horsey clothes in the past have looked, they look like horsey clothes, and in any other context you look totally ridiculous, mm-hmm. you know, going out in them. And yeah. It's just, that's not the way we live anymore. You know, I go straight from the gym to the yard on a Saturday, and then I might go for brunch with the girls, and you kind of want to be looking good all the way through and not having to change your clothes five times in the middle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the frustrations is like you're saying, I wanted clothing that kept up with me, that kept up with my lifestyle, and it had to be multifunctional, because everything with horses is expensive. We all know, we all share the same. And I wanted clothing that could be used for just outside the yard, because obviously, as you've just said as well, the yard clothes, not normal everyday clothes, soon mm-hmm. become yard clothes. So I wanted to make sure everything kind of fit nicely to my lifestyle, because like it got to one point as well for me, I was going to the gym, had my gym kit, had my riding clothes for after work, had my work clothes, and then had, if I was going to meet my friends at some point, another set of clothes. I was carrying like 5 bags to the car, like,
That is totally me in the morning. I'm like dragging it all out.
That was one of the ideas, and I was kind of surprised when I started researching that the equestrian clothing did, although it's like a sport, the clothing didn't reflect it as a sport, and you weren't getting a lot of assets from the sport, from the clothing. You were paying the price, but not really getting a lot out of it. So I wanted to make sure the clothing you bought, it benefited you in some way. So each piece of my technical line, for example, benefits you in some way. And I wanted to make sure that you were getting that value. If you're parting with your hard-earned cash, I wanted to make sure you were getting that value and really feeling like you'd got your value every time you put it on. So that was one of my big things that I wanted to achieve.
Yeah, no, that you're totally right. And I think the sport has progressed so much in terms of its professionalism. Definitely. And that we take it more seriously with, you know, physios, and, you know, we're all doing Pilates, and, you know, there's all that expense and money that you throw at making sure your horse is perfectly sound and you're doing everything right. But the clothing is just so far behind. Yes. And it's great that movement is going forward, but the fact that it's affordable too is great, because I know that I go to my local tack shop and I really resent paying, you know, £100 for a pair of breeches that I'm going to ride every day. I just think that's such a waste, you know. And maybe if you're going to go competing in them, you know, on a Saturday, then you can pay a little bit extra for the sparkles, but I'm not prepared to do that, you know, to get slobber and grease and everything all over. So it's definitely great to see that the industry is moving that way.
Definitely. So Lydia,
so tell me, it's all well and good, you had this vision and you had this dream to kind of change everything, and you're achieving it. But how do you go from having that desire to, okay, I'm going to actually start up, you know, what is essentially a clothing and a fashion brand? Where do you even start with that?
I mean, the first thing for me was making sure I'd carried out all the research, that I wanted to be as informed as I could, and I wanted to strengthen my brand as much as I could from the early days. So I spent a lot of time researching the industry and actually speaking to a lot of everyday riders, that do that, you know, some people that event, some people that don't compete at all, some people that don't even ride. And I wanted to make sure that I catered to every single person within the industry, and I wanted to see what the general feedback was and the frustrations, because I wanted to solve the frustrations. And so I set about really going from the research, and then I knew what assets I wanted to put into the clothing. So I knew that if I wanted I wanted t-shirts that you put on and they didn't feel restrictive, they felt comfortable, but they also would help you. So on days where you've had cross-country days, or you've been, your instructor's been absolutely working, you're ridiculous, you're not dripping in sweat, you feel comfortable, it's not that horrible feeling after you take off your body protector. I wanted to make sure that you put it on and still felt stylish. Even if I wanted you to feel as good as though if you was dressed up for a night out, really. And I wanted, there were so many things I wanted to achieve, and then it was researching the manufacturers and making sure I found the perfect manufacturers to produce the products. I spent about a year trying to find the perfect manufacturers, and I'm so glad that I took that time out, because I've worked with the same manufacturers from day one and I've had no problems with the clothing. They're so experienced in what they do, really knowledgeable, and such great teams that I work with, and they really try to put into the products and help me create the best products I can and source the best fabrics for what I want to achieve. And that was one of the most important things to me. So I started off really from that, and then it kind of grew what I wanted the brand to be. But yeah, there's a lot of aspects to it, but those are the main two, definitely.
And do you have a background in business? Is this your first business, or a background in fashion, or did you just kind of wing it and, you know, work hard and see how you got on?
I've always been into business. My family has a business, and at school, I've basically studied business studies, management, marketing since I was about 15, maybe younger. Always been interested in it. Always been involved on the outside from my family's business, from being very young, seeing how a business runs, the hard work, the dedication. And then I left school. And I went to work for my family's business full time. I also had a Saturday and a Sunday job working for another family business. So I saw how a different business ran. And I also did night school. I did business management, accounting, you name it, qualifications that I could manage at the time. Anything I could fit in basically around my life, I'd do. And so I always knew I would end up in a business career, but I didn't know it would be in the equestrian one, which is something that I love and have a big passion for, but I didn't know it was going to work that way. It's just sort of fell into what I don't know I just sort of fell into it, and it seems to have been the best thing to ever happen to me. I get to talk about something I love every day, and I get to work with it every day and just give back to the industry and to people that share the same passion as me. And it's really just worked out fantastic for me. I feel like amazing. It's like my dream job. But other than that, no, I don't have a background in fashion or anything. I've always been interested in clothes and style, but I'm lucky that I get to work with such great teams that really help me get my visions and what I want to achieve into actual products, which is fantastic. Well,
it's amazing you've been able to turn kind of your passion for business and your passion for horses into your day job. That's what the dream, isn't it? That's what everybody's aiming for. I think horses it's a pretty tough hobby. It's a pretty tough gig that we give ourselves, I guess. You know, we call it a hobby, but it can be pretty stressful, and there's a lot of sacrifice and there's a lot of setbacks, and you know, we literally kind of
get knocked down and get up again. Do you think being an equestrian through and through and those experiences stands you in good stead to start your own business and, you know, go it alone?
Absolutely. There's so many things that I don't think non-equestrian people can really comprehend. Horse riding, as you say, is so tough, and there's so many lessons that you get from it, and I think they certainly can be applied to business. From when we first get on a horse, it's drilled into us that if you fall off, you're getting back on whether you like it or not. And that's really one of the main lessons that I've always applied to my life and to business. And I sort of take from that that there might be bad days, you might fall off, you might not like it, but you've got to get back on it, and it'll make you tougher. And that's just part of the ride. And there's so many different lessons that I've learned from both horses and business, and sort of just learning to be patient, learning to juggle things, to judge things. And yeah, I definitely think that it gives you a certain strength as a young person, as a business person particularly. Yeah,
definitely. I had a horse a few years ago, and he was particularly what shall we say, challenging. And I used to fall off more than I stayed on, actually, and I struggled on longer than I should have, really, because I was determined that, you know, we were gonna get, you know, have success. But when I'm having a bad day at work or something, you know, I'm nervous about something, or, you know, I've got to get up and make a speech, I always think, you know, it could be so much worse. I could be sitting on that horse. And I still did that every night for a year, and, you know, ill-advisedly kept going. So it's definitely, you know, a great basis, I think, for life. I think lots of people should get on a horse and, you know, then look at all their other challenges in that perspective.
Definitely. I just think there's something very unique and different about our sport. It's from when you first start owning a horse, and it's that responsibility and that dedication that you've got to have to be in this sport and this industry. And I definitely think that there's only a certain handful of people that can hack it out. And I just think it can teach you so many things. I've seen so many people flourish from being around horses and the sport. But then again, I love it, so I'm balancing that.
Definitely. And what have the biggest challenges been in your journey so far setting up the business?
The biggest challenges, sometimes myself, because I'm sort of a perfectionist, I like to, anything that I put out there, whether it's content, website, how I brand my business, my product, absolutely everything, I'm my biggest critic. I like everything to be to an extremely high standard. And sometimes I can spend a little while longer producing products before I release them. For example, we've got our new breeches launching in a few weeks at Olympia, and it's taken me just over a year actually to perfect them, because I wanted to make sure I was creating the best fit, the best fabric that I physically could produce for the products, because I want to delight all my fanatics, really. And sort of my biggest challenge with that. The other things I'd probably say is normally when you're a newbie, it's sort of a bit daunting, and sometimes, like any other business, like anybody else, you can have days where you're like, wow, okay, there's a lot to do here. But normally I'm pretty good in that sense. I can handle situations and I can figure it out quick. But yeah, there have been some days where everything seems to happen at once, and it's good. That's what you want. But it can also be slightly stressful. But yeah, it's always fun.
And do you find it, do you work mostly on your own, or are you, have you got people helping you now, or?
I mostly work on my own. However, I have a fantastic partner who is normally helping me on the stands, or he's helping me designing the products, because he's a very talented CAD technician in his job as well as that. So it's normally now I've roped him into the development team. I normally get, my other friends normally help me out now that things are really taking off and I'm just becoming more and more busy. And yeah, I sort of had so many different people help me at different times, but at the moment it is mainly just myself. But it just makes it so much more rewarding when you do it yourself. Or maybe I'm crazy, but I like the word.
No, it's back to that horsey thing again. We kind of do that on our own, don't we? We struggle on and then I get the reward at the end, and that makes it all work out.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we just kind of like a challenge, don't we?
We must say, otherwise we'd have taken up knitting or netball or something. much more sane. So tell me, if I'm listening to the podcast and I'm thinking all this sounds great and I want to get my hands on some of her clothing, what would be the one starter piece to get you, you know, off the ground, kind of try out LD Equestrian? Which piece would you recommend people go out and purchase?
I would definitely say riding leggings. Of course, riding leggings are the new big trend. They've really dominated the past couple of years, and there are now a lot of available on the market. But I think this is really a product that you can see sets our brand apart. It's a premium product at an affordable price, and therefore I think you'll really understand the exceptional value that you get when you invest in our brand. They're our best-selling product, and they're truly such a good quality product. The fabric's fantastic. A lot of people are skeptical. They think, oh, they're slippy, because I get a lot of requests saying, do we have silicone grip leggings? I personally, our leggings are, the grip is so good already because of the friction-based fabric. You don't need the extra silicone grip. And a lot of people think that's just a marketing tool. It's absolutely not. I tried the leggings with silicone grip and they were so much more comfortable and as good without it. So that's where you can really see that our leggings are good enough without the grip. We've created them to be as comfortable as possible. They truly do feel like a second skin. They're extremely practical. I have a lot of my friends that don't even ride and constantly are pestering me for a pair because they love just wearing them every day and for yoga and running and things like that. So I feel like these are our best product by far. And I think if you really want to get a good understanding of our brand and what we stand for, definitely try our leggings.
Perfect. I have to say the trend for leggings is just, I mean, I'm so glad it's now acceptable to wear leggings and that kind of athleisure wear, you know, out everywhere. I think that is just amazing. And I actually really resent now putting on a pair of jeans on a Saturday. I'm like, oh, yeah. My goodness, this is yes. Terrible. But and I agree with you about the silicone grip. I think that is something that I would have maybe worried about when I've, you know, looked at leggings in the past. I thought, are they going to be slippy? But the test, I guess, mm-hmm. without the silicone is that they look, whenever they have silicone grip on them, the leggings, they suddenly look like horse riding leggings. And then that, for me, defeats the purpose of having a pair that you can wear everywhere, because you look just like you've got a really strange pattern on your gym leggings then, because it's not really, you know, they're neither horsey nor non-horsey. So you've just got a strange design on your backside whenever you're out places. So I'm all over. I think no silicone is the way forward, definitely. Perfect.
Definitely. And I think it just ruins the comfort aspect. I mean, we turn to leggings because, yeah, they're practical, but they're really comfy too. Like, I wear my leggings every day. Like you say, you grudge to wear jeans now, and it's because they're just so comfy and you can wear them all day. So I feel like you're sort of ruining the aspect. And I feel like if you do want the grip, that's when you opt for breeches. That's when I opt for my breeches in winter, mm-hmm. when the horse are a little bit fresh. That's of course why I do, we do have our own grip breeches as well. So it's like, I like to offer the best of both worlds, but for the leggings, I don't want to strip away from what I'm trying to achieve with them originally by bringing them out. So that's why I'm a no silicone grip riding leggings fan.
Definitely. I think there'll be lots of people on that boat with you for sure. Sorry, my microphone just slipped out. So Lydia, what does the next year look like for you? What's next for LD Equestrian?
I'm really excited for the next year. This December's turning out to be crazy for us. We're really busy at the moment. In less than a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be at Olympia Horse Show, which is our first time there and our first big show, which I'm so excited about. So hopefully I might get to meet some of your listeners there.
Hopefully.
And I get a nice short break and then it's back to planning for next year. And I'm currently confirming our samples for spring, summer. I've got some fantastic products that I'm really excited to be launching, really different. And then it's the show season, so we've got some great trade events lined up. I can't confirm anything yet, unfortunately, but I've got some really great shows in my diary penciled in, so I'm so excited.
Oh, that sounds great. Olympia is the big time, isn't it? That's a really exciting show to be going to. It'll be crazy busy.
Definitely. But yeah, it should be good fun. But yeah, get back the 23rd of December. So it's and it should be a nice start to my Christmas.
Definitely will. It's a show I've always been meaning to go to. I've never been, but that close to Christmas can't be good for the bank balance. You know, the shop in there is supposed to be amazing. So you'll hopefully have a good slice of that pre-Christmas shopping pie.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Lydia, we're going to try and wrap it up, but we have a few questions that we kind of ask everyone at the end of each podcast. So I'm going to tailor it a little bit to you. So normally we asked if you had a dream or if you had one rider, dead or alive, that you could take out for coffee, who would it be? But I'm going to ask you, if you had one rider that you would like to wear your leggings, who would it be?
Ooh, that's difficult one. I think just because I love her riding style anyway, it would have to be Jessica Mendoza. Just because I sort of like fangirl her on Instagram anyway. I think she's always looking very stylish ringside.
She does. She's really gorgeous, isn't she? Yeah, she is. Well, that's a good choice. Nice choice. And if there was a horse, then on a personal level, say you've got a weekend off and you just want to chill out and spend some time with your horse, if there was any horse in the world that you could have for the weekend to kind of relax, who would it be?
See, this sounds really soppy, but it'd actually be my own horses. My babies.
And tell us about them.
Yeah, I have Luna, who's currently I've had nearly a year now. She's a beautiful 16-1-1 blood, and I hope to eventually, if I ever get some time, to event her. My other horse, who's a lot of people are gonna love the name, Pig, is an ex-racer, and we did sort of get into event, and then unfortunately she developed a back injury and she's now retired in a field enjoying her time off. But yeah, I've got Luna to hopefully pick back up and get things started again, so I'm excited. But yeah, they're my absolute babies.
And I suppose you just love getting some time to play with them and chill out and de-stress. They're like your muses.
Yeah, absolutely love. My favourite time of the day is before I get up to go to the office in the morning, I get an hour where I just get to go and ride Luna and spend time with her. And it's just that chill out. I like when it's quiet first thing in the morning. There's literally me, the birds and my horse. And it's just my favourite time of day. Just get to chill out.
Oh, what a way to start the day. What a way. You're definitely living the dream there, Lydia. You're selling it to us. It sounds great. It sounds wonderful. So, Lydia, how can people find you on social media and websites? Where can they go and buy some leggings?
You can head to our website, which is www.ld-equestrian.co.uk. And you can find us on Facebook. Just search LD Equestrian, Twitter, and our Instagram handle is LD-Equestrian. And you can follow us on 3 and our YouTube, actually. We're just starting to put some videos out on YouTube.
Oh, I'll have to check those out. I haven't seen those. No, definitely everyone go and follow Lydia. Have a look on the website. It's, I would say, a small capsule collection of everything that you need to ride in comfort and style. So it's definitely worth checking out. There's still time to buy before Christmas, am I right?
Yep. We've actually just posted our last delivery dates, but yep, you've certainly got another week or so to get your last minute panic orders in, if you like.
Yes, and definitely leave the note on the side for the husband, the boyfriend. This is what I want for Christmas. This is what Santa needs to bring. So definitely get on there, make your list, treat yourself. Christmas is for you as well, so we can all buy for ourselves too. I have to say, I have to laugh when you were saying about your partner helping you with the business. It's, I have a partner and he helps me with lots of different things, including editing podcasts. But you know, I'm sure he has held a horse a few times for you as well. It's like the non-horsey husband suddenly getting moved into everything.
Definitely. Before we started going out, he'd never even like sat on a horse. And within the first 3 months, I'd got him, I think I was delayed in the meeting or something. And I basically said, I need you to go and feed the horses, change the rugs, bring them in for me. And it was all done on FaceTime, so he's a very quick learner. But yeah, he's now a pro at it, shall we put it.
I love that, a little FaceTime tutorial. Perfect. I've never thought of that. I should make him a little how-to video and speed things up.
Yeah, definitely gonna have to get him some wellies for Christmas.
Maybe you'll have to start a men's range. Maybe I'll get really into it and you'll have to start creating men's clothing as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be next year. Watch this space. Listen, Lydia, it's been a real pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much again for taking time out of your evening to come on and chat to us. I hope you've enjoyed it and we haven't scared you away.
Oh, it's been absolutely fabulous. I've loved it. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Lydia, thanks so much.
Well, everyone, if you've made it to the end of the podcast without reaching for your debit card, then I congratulate you. I will definitely be paying a visit to the website and restocking some clothes for autumn winter. I am in dire need of some riding leggings. I think they're the answer to all of my problems. And definitely a great stocking filler for Christmas. As always, you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on Spotify and Acast and lots of other podcast sites. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more and be kept in touch, please subscribe and leave us a review to help others find us too. You can keep in touch with us during the week on Facebook and Instagram at On The Bit Podcast. And until next time, I'll say goodbye for now.